Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in.
Today's reading of the scripture comes from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 of the Common English Bible. Therefore, we have peace with God. Therefore, since we have been righteous through his faithfulness, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have access by faith into his grace in which he stands through him, and we boast in hope of God's glory. But not only that, we even take pride in our problems because we know that trouble produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. This hope doesn't put us to shame because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. While we were still weak at the moment, Christ died for ungodly people. It isn't often that someone will die for a righteous person, though maybe someone might die for a good person. But God shows his love for us because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So now that we have been made righteous by his blood, we can be even more certain that we will still be saved from God's wrath through him. If we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, while we were still enemies, now that we have been reconciled, how much more certain is it that we will be saved by his life? And not only that, we even take pride in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the one through whom we now have restored relationship with God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
God loves you. It's a plaque on a wall in your grandmother's house. It's another Instagram post with another sunset. It's a cheap band-aid on a fatal wound. But God does love you. It's the only reason anything will ever matter. It's the difference between eternal death and endless life. It's the hope that remains when despair is exhausted. It's your place at the table with the Father who's always wanted you. God loves you. That's why I bow on my knees to ask the Father to give you his power deep inside, to keep his Son rooted in your heart. So you'll finally be strong enough to understand what cannot be known. God loves you.
Well, good morning, church. Welcome to all those who are online or listening after the fact. We welcome you. If you look in your bulletins, you will find a lesson plan for today. If you're online or listening after the fact, you can go to our website. And on the website is a tab that says Bullets and Lesson Plans, Bulletins and Lesson Plans. You can click on that, and you can download, either view on PDF or download the lesson plan and bulletin for yourself. But we welcome you. My name is Pastor Harold Long, and today we continue in our message series, Romans, I'm Not Ashamed of the Gospel. The title of today's message is, Do You See Yourself the Way God Sees You? And that's a fair question. And it's an important question. I can't tell you how important that is. And this is why we spend so much time, I'm spending so much time in Romans, especially Romans 5 through 8, with no real agenda when to get through. I mean, each week it's just, we'll just see where we get with it, and then we'll diverse for special messages like next week's Father's Day. But I really, you know, this just chapter 5, verse 1, by itself, just the first verse, we could do a six-part message series on it. In chapters 5, 1 through 11, we could really seriously go through the rest of the year. We won't, but we could. I mean, there's that much meat on the bone in this chapter. And so, but before we do that, we're talking about unconditional love today. And so I want to ask, have any of you ever taken the unconditional love test? Has anybody ever taken that test? Well, let me tell you how it works. This is how you find out who loves you truly unconditionally. So listen up, guys. What you do is you take your wife and your dog and you lock them both in the trunk for about 15 to 30 minutes. That's all, about 15 to 30 minutes. And when you open the trunk, you will be excited to see who loves you unconditionally. It's a test. Now, I mentioned it. Now, don't try it at home, on all seriousness. And if you're listening to this on message online or after the fact, and you try it, well, you're on your own. That's my risk management 101 piece. Don't come suing me or the church if that doesn't work out to you. But we're talking about unconditional love, and it's really an important topic. And I want to share with you an important story, a more serious story, of course, on a more serious note. And I want you to think about this story I'm about to share with you, because this story really articulates what it's like to not sure if you're truly loved, but also how we can take this to a spiritual level. So I know a family who adopted an older child from an unspeakable, horrific orphanage in a really tough place. We'll just call that. It was in another country. And they brought her home. And they told her that she was expected to clean her room every day. This is the rules of engagement. You're going to leave here. Part of what we're going to ask you to do is clean your room every day. And when she heard that, and that was her responsibility, she became fixated on it. That's just all she could think about. And she saw it as a way to earn her family's love. It's a really important thing I'm about to share with you. In other words, she isolated the responsibility and applied it to her existing frame of thinking, if you would. That this is how her life was shaped in the orphanage. Thus, it was immaculate every morning, is what I can tell you. So every morning when she woke up, the first thing she did is make sure this room was immaculate, every day. And she would invite her parents into the room. And when they entered the room, they should sit down on the bed, and she would look at him, and she'd say, "My room is clean. Can I stay?" I want you to think about that message. Can I stay? My room is clean. Can I stay with you? Her words broke her parents' hearts. But this is where her mind was. Eventually, the girl learned to hear her parents' words as unconditional, as a beloved child could, that there was no conditions on it, that their love would never be forsaken from her. Not a visitor trying to earn her place in the family, but she was a member of the family. After she knew it was inseparable from her family, she understood that even correction and discipline did not cause her question of her family's love. If she didn't fall short, if she didn't do what she's supposed to do, she understood that correction and discipline to be part of what it meant to be in a family context. But it wasn't what was required to be loved and accepted. It's an all sad, true, but story that plays out in homes worldwide, and it plays out in the lives of humans every day, friends, and many who claim to know God. And I want you to hear this message. This is why we're still in Romans. This is why we've read this scripture for 3 weeks in a row. And we're going to be camped out on Romans 5 through 8 for a while, because this is where the meat is on the bone. Outside the Gospels, this is the richest, as far as I'm concerned, scripture there is for any of us to understand. It's what transformed my life. It's why I show the bumper video every so many weeks that I put together of all the famous quotes from the famous theologians as it relates to Romans, John Wesley being one of those, how this scripture shaped their lives, shaped their ministries, shaped everything they did. This is so important that we get this. And there's so many Christians walking around who don't know this. If you don't feel loved by God, you're certainly not going to offer love to anybody else. Do you hear that? I mean, Jesus' number one command to us was to love other people. But if we don't think we're loved by God and we're not truly accepted, then how will we ever convey that to anybody else on any real level with any consistency? Well, we wouldn't. It's impossible to be a loving person unless you understand and remember the way God loves you. And I think it's imperative for all of us to remind ourselves every day what God thinks about us. Last week I gave you 32 scriptures and an insert in your bulletin to prove what you mean to God. I don't know if you went home and studied those, if you read those and pondered those, meditated on those, but if you didn't, you should. That's just 32. I can come up with that to the power of 10 in scripture, how much God thinks about us. And it's not about what the world thinks about us or even what you think about yourself. It's what God thinks of us that really should be dominant in our life. And this is what's going to remove the fears, anxiety, and depression in our lives. And today we're going to look at four things God gives. There are four things that God thinks about each and every one of us to help us remember why and how much we're loved. And these are the four things that you'll find in your outline. So if you have your lesson plan, I encourage you to pull those out. That's what we're going to go through today. But this is really important because how you see God will shape everything you do. What you believe, what you listen to, how you treat people, what you think. I mean, it just shapes everything. When we talk about living a Jesus-centered life, this is what we're talking about. By viewing the world and the people in the world and the places in the world and the things in the world in a Jesus-centered mindset. That we're approaching life from a Jesus-centered perspective. And if we're not fully convinced to our innermost selves that we're loved by God, that we're totally accepted and a part of His family, we're just going to fail miserably at that. And it's easy to do. We live in a culture, I call it the delusion of inequality. This delusion that I'm not enough because the world says I'm not enough. You know, there was a time in my life, especially when I was young, what you thought of me paralyzed me. I can trust you. What you thought of me paralyzed me. It shaped everything I did. I mean, everything I did. It shaped what I wore, how I talked, how I walked, what I listened to, what music I listened to. It shaped everything based on what you thought, how you saw the world, and what you thought of me. My life was basically two things going on at the same time for a long time. I walk into a room like this, two things would happen. I want everybody to pay attention to me, and I also want everybody to leave me the heck alone. And the kicker was, I wanted you to do it at the same time, right? Which is an impossible ask. But if you just come up and say, hey, Aaron, we think you're great, never talk to me the rest of the day, I'm good. But that's not reality, right? And so because that didn't happen, this gerber wheel of thoughts would go. There'd be two voices, one selling a bag of goods and the other one buying it, you know, between my ears. And I would get lost in that. And it really happened when we moved. When I moved, I was raised by a single mom, for those who don't know that. And we lived in a small country town on the Kansas-Oklahoma border, Nevada, Missouri. And my mom, up one day, in her own reconciliation work to reconcile with a son and two daughters she had here that I didn't even know about at that time, told us that we're moving. We're moving to a suburb of St. Louis. And I said, why? And she told me why. I was shocked to even hear this news. I never knew this part of my mother's life. And so we moved to Arnold, Missouri, into a Starling Community Trailer Court. And we moved in the very back where there's no trailers there anymore because they all got flooded out. But they were where all the beat-up trailers were at, where they called everybody trailer trash. That's where we moved. I lived back there. And then I got pulled out of a Catholic school with less than 100 kids. And now I'm thrown into Fox C6 with thousands of kids. And my world got tipped upside down. And this delusion of inequality, what you saw me, what people thought of me, what the culture thought of me, drove my life. And right away I knew it wasn't cool. I didn't look cool. This is the early 70s. I looked like a little country kid. Man, there's nothing but hippies around where I was, you know, the hippies dominate everything. And right away I went home and I'm like 8 or 9 years old going on to my mom's, going, Mom, I got to change my clothes. What are you talking about? I can't wear these clothes anymore. She's like, what do you mean? I said, they're just not cool. I'm not cool, Mom. I got to get cool. So I started wearing the big bell-bottom pants. Anybody have those? I mean, some of you are old enough. At least you got some honest people here who are going to raise their hand. Big bell-bottom pants. I got the blue jean jacket. Denim was a big thing back then. I had the brown suede boots with the red shoestrings. Those were cool. I had a Billy Jack t-shirt, black t-shirt. Wore them all the time because Billy Jack was the man. You know, I grew my hair long, about as long as Monica's. I took the thumbtack out of my Kiss poster, pierced my ear. I made a headband out of a piece of belt. I had pimples, I had freckles, I had gap teeth. I looked like a freaked out Howdy Doody is what I looked like. You know who Howdy Doody is. That's what I looked like. But I was really trying to be cool. Had I gotten any cooler, I'd probably have froze to death. You know, but I was trying because of what you thought of me. It ruled my life. And unfortunately, this can happen for all of our lives for eternity. You know, back in the day, I used to call it keeping up with the Joneses. But this mentality of what I wear, how I walk, how I talk, what I drive, what, you know, all the stuff. And why do we do that? Because what others think of us rules our life. I mean, it's just the truth. And so I didn't get any of this. I didn't see how God loved me. I was so clueless to this at this stage of my life. I was far removed from this. But even as I started to walk as a believer in my early 20s, it took me some years to figure out what we're talking about here. I mean, the concept of being saved and living forever and eternity was a hopeful thought. But it didn't do much for life on earth because this mentality shaped me still. I didn't, you know, and I was kind of like this young girl. I'm trying to earn favor with God. I wouldn't say it that way. I wouldn't articulate it that way. But my life was like always trying to prove myself. Prove that I'm really a Christian. Prove that I'm really trying. And for what? Well, ultimately, it's to, just like this girl, I just wanted God to see me. I wanted to be accepted in everything that I was doing. And so this is the mentality that, and this is why a lot of Christians walk around full of depression, full of anxiety, full, their life doesn't look much different than anybody else's, because they really don't understand this question. They don't understand how God sees them. I mean, I can't tell you how important this is. There's plenty of Christians, billions of them probably, right now, that are sitting home just really discouraged in their life because they feel like they failed. They've burnt bridges in their past. They've broken hearts in their past. They feel like somehow or another they got to change all that before they're welcome with God. And that's not the Christian message. It's not the Jesus message. But unfortunately, because of the culture we live in, it becomes the message for a lot of people. And it's a very hopeless state. I mean, if I'm a Christian living a Jesus-centered life, I should have a lot of gratitude, a lot of hope, and a lot of spirit going on in my life all the time, regardless of my present circumstances. It should be going on. And so we're going to look at four things today, and we're going to start with number one in your bulletin, your handout. Number one is to understand that you are completely accepted. Completely accepted. We spend way too much time, like I said, trying to earn acceptance from our parents, our peers, those we respect, envy, even total strangers, for goodness sakes, who want to be accepted in a certain way. But we need to realize God has settled this issue of acceptance long ago. Jesus made us right with God. May we never forget that. Our first scripture that we look at is Titus 3:7. So since we have been made righteous by His grace, we can inherit the hope for eternal life. What Jesus did on the cross made you utterly acceptable to God. Amen? I mean, that's truth. No matter what you've done or what you will do, past, present, future, we're right with God. The minute I say, God, come into my life, and the minute I exercise my faith and repent and exercise repentance, I'm 100% right with God forever. You know, there's nothing I'm going to be able to do in this life to ever get God to love me any more than He already does. Man, that really has to get down deep. That's a very personal thing, but I hope it gets deep into your soul because it's the truth. It doesn't give us a license to act a fool. It doesn't mean we don't have to go back and reconcile and make amends and do things for the things that we've done in our past. It doesn't mean that. Jesus made it clear, man, if you're coming to the altar to receive a blessing, to bring a gift, to pay homage, and you got something against your siblings, well, you leave your gift here and you go get right with them, then come back here. I mean, God's pretty serious about that. Or He'll say it another way. He says, you know, if you're confessing with your mouth that you love God, but you got conflict and hate against your brother and sister, you're a liar. Pants on fire. You know? I mean, this is God speaking to us. We got to think about that. You know, so it doesn't mean that just because we're saved that we're right with God, that just makes everything right. No, if I got a conflict with you, I need to come to you and make that right. But when it comes to God, Jesus paid for it. There's nothing I did other than ask God to come in my life. And so I'm fully accepted. And I hope you understand that deep into your soul. Number two, you're unconditionally loved, as we talked about. God doesn't say, I love you if. You know, if you just quit doing that. If you quit acting that way. If you quit listening to that. If we quit saying that. No, there's no conditions on it. I just love you. Or I love you because. He says, I love you, period. I mean, I think that's really important to get deep down inside. You can't make God stop loving you because He is not, His love is not based on actions, but who He is. Amen? Isaiah 54:10 reminds us of that. The mountains may shift and the hills may be shaken, but my faithful love won't shift from you. And my covenant of peace won't be shaken, says the Lord, the one who pities you. So nothing's going to change His view of you. Nothing. Nothing. And that's good news, friends. That's awesome news. Number three, you're totally forgiven. Because Jesus died on the cross, He gave His life as a payment for your sins. You're totally forgiven once you accept the gift of forgiveness. You have to accept that. And then you have to provide forgiveness to those who have fallen short with you. If you're a forgiven person, you have to be a forgiving person. There is no exceptions. I don't care how grave the atrocity was against you. Doesn't mean it's easy. Doesn't mean you won't need help. Doesn't mean you might even need some professional help to get through it. But it's got to be the goal. I got to get to this space. But I have to know, it starts with knowing this first, that I am totally forgiven for being the biggest knucklehead I know. And I don't know of a bigger one than the Umwal right here. You know, really important to get that. Romans 8:1 tells us, so now there isn't any condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. There's no spiritual persecution. There's no spiritual condemnation. Despite what the darkness in this chatterbox in my head will try to tell me, that I'm a fake, I'm a phony, I'm a fraud, that if you're really a believer, you wouldn't do this. If you really love Jesus, you wouldn't behave this way. Blah, 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 blah. You know, this again, there's two voices. One's trying to sell me a bag of goods. The other one's buying it. You know, it doesn't have to be that way today, but it definitely was that way for a long time. And lastly, number four, you're considered extremely valuable. Two things create value. The one, who owns it. If you own something, you have something of value, and somebody's willing to pay for it. This is how the stock market works. I could have come up here and have Jane come up and explain this to us. You know, they make it really clear. You know, there's a buyer, there's a seller. You know, this is how the market works. You see it in the housing market big time. People are willing to pay 30%, you know, more. My daughter in Colorado just bought that house in Colorado a year ago in the fall. It's already raised $200,000 in value since last fall. That's out in Colorado in Morrison. You know, but there's a buyer for that. Somebody's willing to write a check for that. You know, and so, but that's what creates value. But you're a child of God, and you were bought and paid for. You know what I'm saying? So I hope you get that. You were bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus. And so this scripture reminds us, 1 Corinthians 7:2-3, you were bought and paid for, so don't be slaves to other people, right? Don't be slaves or caught up in what other people think of you. If you're a knucklehead, clean it up. Own it. Confess it. If you made a mistake, own it. Confess it. But other than that, what people think of you, well, you know, it's just what they think of you. If you're living a Jesus-centered life and you're trying, you're not going to do it perfectly, but if you're trying, then take stock in that and be grateful for that. And the reality of it is 30% of the people aren't going to like you, and that's just the way it goes, no matter what you do. It's just no matter what you do. I don't care who you are, where you come from, what your background is, how much education you got. It does not matter. There's always going to be 30% that have some issue with you. It's just the way it goes. Accept it. But again, if I know that I'm right with God and what God thinks of me, I can work with that. But if I don't know that, that owns me. Because I'm going to still try to convince that 30% that I'm worth knowing, I'm worth loving, I'm worth being in partnership with. And I'll spin my wheels on a lost cause and drive you completely insane, lead to a lot of depression, anxiety, and disturbance in the force. But if I know I'm trying my best, trying to live a Jesus-centered life, God loves me, there's nothing more I need to do about it, then I can hold my head high and with a big smile, a lot of gratitude, and have a lot of fun doing it. And that's pretty much how I try to live my life. Not perfectly, but I definitely try. So if we remember these things, if we remember that you're accepted, you're loved, you're forgiven, and you're valuable to the Creator of the universe, friends, you'll be better equipped to show love to others and build deeper relationships. Amen? So I'm going to invite the band back up. If you're listening online or watching online or you're in person, you have questions about your own faith journey, today's message, anything that we're doing at Hiltran Ministries, that's a great email. Shoot us an email. I will get back to you personally. We can Zoom. We can talk on the phone. We can text. We can email. Whatever. But we want to definitely partner with you and walk shoulder to shoulder with you and help you take the next steps on your spiritual journey. That's what we're about. I want to pray for us today. And then we're going to lead into two songs. I Can Only Imagine and Follow Me. And those songs are powerful. You know, reflecting on what it's going to be like to be in the presence of Jesus. But we're already there, friends. We're with each other. We're siblings. We're kingdom sisters and brothers. So we should be experiencing this on earth as it is in heaven already. Should be the goal. And to follow me, to live a Jesus-centered life. You know, just who I am and how I am. Just come. Come as you are. And that's a beautiful, beautiful story. So let's pray. I want to invite you to stand and go ahead and stand with me and pray with me. And then we're going to sing some songs as we go out. Hopefully with centered on a new idea that God loves me to the bone. Just as I am. Warts, pimples, all me. Good, bad, and ugly. Lord, thank you for your message today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your son. Thank you for him and his willingness to say yes and to pay it all. And because of his life, his death, and his resurrection, we not only have salvation for eternity, but we have a chance to live a spirit-filled, Jesus-centered life right here, right now, with each other for the rest of our earthly lives. To be happy, joyous, and free. Not be in bondage or enslaved to what others think of us. Knowing that if we're going to live Jesus-centered life, we're going to face friction in this world. Sometimes even in our own families. And it doesn't feel good, but it's what happens. But there's no better feeling to close our eyes in the night to know that we are right with you. That if this today was it, today is the last day of our life, that we will spend eternity with you. And that through us there's value, and through that value comes responsibility. And through that responsibility, you give us the gift of the Holy Spirit as we celebrate that here on Trinity Sunday. But not only do you give us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, but you make us a channel. The Holy Spirit is the channel, but we participate in the channel that you, Jesus, can live your life through each and every one of us. Actually, live your life through us. And that's what you're calling us to do, is to buy into that, understand that to the deepest part of our soul, to live into that with every inch of our fiber, to be you with skin on. And that's possible through the power of the Holy Spirit, to love others as you love us. That is your message to us. Just love one another. And when there's twisted perceptions and broken relationships and broken hearts and burnt bridges, Lord, give us, if there's stuff that we need to do to reconcile, then give us the willingness to do that. But other than that, let us just understand to the deepest part of our core who we are, that we're loved unconditionally, that we're accepted, and that we're valuable, and that there's a real purpose for our life, and that is to go out and be a maximum service to you and the people about us. Help us all to do that to the best of our ability today, this week, as we go out from here. We pray this today, and we pray it mightily in your son's name. And all God's people said, amen. Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hill-Tran United. Hill-Tran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, or you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hill-Tran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletin, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly, if you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hilltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.